Welcome to episode two. My name is Sammy Ju. I'm the Asian Ministry Consultant at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. We're doing the podcast with Pastor Jacob. Hey, Jacob. Thanks for coming.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Good. Awesome. In episode one, we had a great time to get to know each other. And if you haven't seen episode one, I really highly encourage you to look at episode one. You can listen to Pastor Jacob's personal story. Now, today, we really want to know about your ministry philosophy. You're writing a paper. I mean, you're doing a PhD at Southeastern.
I wish it was just a paper. That'd be nice.
I'm sure that
12-page paper, please, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah. I really appreciated when I was reading your paper. You mentioned about a lot of things. There's a wealth of knowledge about how Korean Americans act in a particular way in terms of church and their spirituality. Mm-hmm. So that was very fascinating work. So I have really specific questions I want to ask you, and you can share how you think about all these Asian American trend, and especially Korean Americans. So I have a few questions I want to ask, especially from your paper. You mentioned about silent exodus in your paper. Can you define what it is and why is it happening?
Yeah. 1995, Helen Lee, she published a paper in Christianity Today titled The Silent Exodus. And it described the mass exodus of the second generation from Asian American churches, just epidemic numbers in terms of percentages and whatnot, how Asian Americans were just losing their second generation almost completely, the church was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a prescriptive type of paper, it was more just a description of what was happening at the time and decades actually before that.
Right.
And the time since then, the trend has continued, but I think
even
there's,
now.
Yeah, even now, I think a lot of people do end up leaving the church, maybe for slightly different reasons than back then. I think the reasons why they leave nowadays are more in line with the mainstream church or multi-ethnic churches is we just, in general, have a problem with keeping our young people. But with my generation, with your generation, and the slightly older generation, I think.
Our generation.
Yeah, our generation. There was older, definitely. It's showing up. But I really do feel there's a lot of hope in terms of God actually using things within a culture to bring people back to the church.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, Helen Lee, I do believe it was, coined another term called the boomerang effect, about how there's a new trend for a lot of these people that actually didn't leave the church when they were younger. They're starting to come back, but they're not going to multi-ethnic churches. They're not going to just Caucasian churches or whatnot. They're actually coming back to the Korean church, and she's kind of delving into the reasons of why. And my dissertation and my work will be, you know, delving into a lot of the reasons, the same thing, why or how, you know, how can we continue to draw people back to not just the Korean church, but the Church of God. In particular, with me drilling down, obviously you have to do that for a dissertation.
Okay.
In the Korean church, okay, how do we raise up leaders within the Korean church that will able to make disciples, who make disciples, that will stay in the church and invest into the lives of the young people within the church.
Yeah, great. Well, when I was looking at your paper, I was fascinated by the stats. Like, 75% of Korean Americans in the United States are Christians, and more than 60% of them are Protestant. Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So when you say 75% of them are Christians, you mean almost all of them are first generations? Or, because you mentioned that silent exodus, like the second generations are leaving.
I think statistics are always a little bit misleading. And with that 75% or some estimates, anywhere from 70 to 80%, depending on which source you use. 75 is a good, right in the middle, right? But you know, questioning I don't want to sound legalistic or anything about, you know, just genuine Christianity. Is Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior? Have I dropped everything to follow him? Have I repented of my sin and put my trust in Jesus Christ? In terms of that actual Christian, who knows what the percentage is? One thing that's happened with the immigrant church, and I think a lot of people who study just church growth and whatnot, missiology, it was with an immigrant church, is if you have a new immigrant population coming in, if there's an established community, they tend to flock towards that community because there's that comfort, that level of soulness that they can have together. And especially for Koreans, I do feel. And one of the strongest places that happens is the Korean church. And so they're automatically kind of drawn into this community. With the Korean community, at least, actually the Asian community in general, 1965, the Immigration Act actually opened up doors for East Asia
I
for
see.
immigrants to come.
Okay.
And before then, there was literally no immigration from East Asia for decades. And so most of the second, sorry, most of the young people in the church today, they're only second generation. You'll find a few third generation, maybe one or two fourth generation here and there, and all the third generation, they're still in grade school. Right? And so it's the second generation guys that we're just coming to our own, we're having our own kids are starting to grow up and whatnot. And so we don't really know what's coming up behind us. And so I think those numbers, 70, what you have to factor all that in, because really there aren't as many second generation or third generation or fourth generation as in other cultures and other church communities.
Yeah, I've seen some second generations, as you said, silent exodus. They were leaving their parents' church and for various reasons. Like, for example, like they didn't understand Korean preaching or they didn't like to be in the Korean community. It's almost like living in the parents' home. And so there may be various reasons. What do you think the number one reason why the second generations were leaving their parents' church?
Satan. I don't want to like hyper-spiritualize everything, I
Sunday
think.
school answer about
But
this for
it is. And I think there is just, and this is not downplaying people of any other ethnic background or whatnot, but there's just so much potential with immigrant children
Sure.
immigrants, because they have the culture of their parents. And many of the countries which their parents came from are missional fields. And so we as Americans or Canadians in general, as the church here, we want to send people into those fields.
That's right.
And so if you have a healthy ethnic population here that can speak to people over there in their own language, understand the culture natively because they grew up in it, I think Satan wants to destroy that. And so there's a lot of things, a lot of factors come into play. And you know, we need to be especially prayerful, I do believe, to keep our young people and to raise them up. As to whether or not, I think we're going to cover this in a future episode, you know, we need to keep them at my church or whatever. I don't want to step on too many toes. But in terms of keeping them within the church, and maybe not removing them completely from culture, realizing, hey, wait a minute, maybe God's raising up this young lady, this young man, as a missionary to send overseas and equipping them with these amazing things here. Who knows?
That's great. So how should churches respond to this silent exodus?
One, I think there should be a measure of encouragement. I mean, I haven't met Helen Lee in person. I do plan to at least try to reach out to her and see if I can get maybe an interview or some help in terms of the direction
You
of
said he works she works for IB
I'm not sure.
University
I
now.
mean, yeah, I've been studying so many different authors.
Hopefully we can get
Yeah,
connected or
hopefully get
in future.
connected. I mean, I've sent out a few emails here and there, but no one gets back to me. I'm just like,
Okay.
who's this bald Asian middle guy, middle-aged Asian guy, Canadian, with bad grammar? But who knows? I mean, we're just trying to get these things off the ground. And yeah, just my hope and prayer for the church is that they would know they're not alone in this. that if they have like a youth group or that's really struggling and they have a really high attrition rate and whatnot, you're not alone. But there are ways to find the track and keep our young people. I truly believe that. And I think Satan is PO'd when that happens. And again, it's really hard to focus down on just one thing, the one thing that makes people leave. I think it's so multifaceted. It's kind of scary the deeper that you delve into it. Sometimes I can actually maybe, I don't know, we'll get kicked off this podcast or the SBC for saying this, but like you can almost see the hand of Satan working. Like it's scary at times.
Yeah, in your paper, I saw that as one of the responses as the church, you mentioned about the importance of preaching the word in its entirety.
Yes.
Can you explain more about that?
I think this is, it is a cultural thing, because anytime we have any sort of message or speak anything, it is enveloped in a cultural package. And there's always dangers inherent in referring just to tradition, because you're taking all the cultural baggage and all the cultural packaging. What happens when we focus just on the Word of God? Obviously, the way that it's delivered will still be in the cultural package. But what's inside that package right, is transformative. It transcends cultures. It transcends these problems that this church has over here or this church has over there. Teaching the Bible in its entirety is not an easy thing to do, because you got to study the whole Bible. And I honestly feel like by the Spirit, with faithfulness, I think pastors in general, you don't have to be like a rocket scientist or a genius of some sort to actually do it. I think it's just being a faithful expositor of the text, letting the text speak for itself. One thing that I've found in my conclusions is they tend to line right up with Reformed theology. And there is a reform resurgence, and a lot of young people are kind of down with that. But I'll never say, okay, we need to see what Calvin said about this or those types of things. I'll just let the Bible speak for the Bible and see where it is. And I think a lot of people, a lot of our young people, Asians, Koreans, Chinese, Vietnamese, just people, because there's such a high emphasis on education, when they study things like the Bible, I think they can get it. They make the connections. They're like, whoa, this is what Moses says, and this is what Jesus says, and this is what the prophet says. They're saying the same thing. Jesus seems to be saying it the loudest with his life. It just... you start to make those connections, and you have those aha moments. I think it meets a lot of the students, a lot of the young people, where they can be met. Rather than saying, okay, this is the way that, you know, we did it in Korea, and you need to pray in this way or do that way. This is what this one specific theologian said, and we need to believe that. It's more along the lines of, this is what the Word of God says. Applying it in terms of illustrations of life, I think it helps being a second generation, being born here, going through a lot of stuff as I grew up in terms of racism, in terms of missed opportunities at times. I don't want to like feel sorry or throw a pity party or say, oh, there's this invisible or silent racism out there, and you know, well, we need to rise up and fight against it. I don't want to go down that path. But, you know, in hindsight, I look at that. But then I also realize, hey, wait a minute, the gospel's so much bigger than that. Right? Jesus Christ's power is so much bigger than that. And seeing how that overcomes. And also seeing how that equips to go and minister to others and empower them and have them being raised up as well.
So focusing on the gospel, finding their identity in Christ.
Christ.
That's the primary focus.
And then reflecting on life in this culture as someone who's living in somewhat of a liminal in-between place. And just sharing that with people around you. I think it speaks powerfully.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Jacob.
Thank you.
And in the next episode, we're going to learn more about your ministry. Jacob Park is leading very flourishing English ministry in Korean-American church context. So we definitely want to know more about that in the
Thank
next
you.
Episode. Thank you, Jacob.